As I've noted, the Blend and Paper Company made a major decision after years of study and consideration when it accepted the need to produce coated paper to stay competitive in the paper market. An order was placed for a trailing blade coater with the Rice Barton Corporation in Massachusetts. Rice Barton officials were delighted to receive that order from Blandin. The company had orders for 4 on-machine bread wrap blade coaters, but the Grand Rapids installation would be its first off-machine coater and the first for making printing paper. The Rice Barton Company was anxious to adapt its equipment for use with publication paper, hoping to enter a far larger market than that provided by bread wrap producers. 10 months after the order was placed, the completed Rice Barton trailing blade coater was delivered and installed at the mill. In concept and design, the coater was relatively simple. The roll of paper was produced on an unwind stand. The sheet passed over carrying rolls and around a larger rubber-covered backing roll. As it proceeded around that roll, the sheet passed through a small 4-inch deep pool or reservoir of color, as the clay mixture was called. The trailing blade, razor sharp, very thin and flexible, was tension held against the sheet. The blade held back excess color and provided a spatula effect to smooth and evenly distribute the clay mixture over the paper. The ends of the trough reservoir were diked to prevent color from flowing out and to eliminate dripping and splattering. After the sheet had passed through the trailing blade coater, it continued through a dryer hood, circulated air heated to 300 degrees. Once the paper was dry, the other side of the sheet passed by a second coating head, and the process was repeated. The paper was then ready for the super calendar. The trailing blade coater operated at 1,000 to 2,000 feet per minute, so it's pretty fast. Any coating process operating at such high speed had to use color with as high a percentage of solids as possible. The thicker the coating mixture, the more easily the sheet handled and the more quickly it dried. The Champion wire side treated process, which we've looked at, that had been used in the mill required a clay solution of only 8 to 9% solids. Most conventional roll coaters used color with 30 to 35% solids, but the trailing blade coater could use a slurry of over 50% solids, a major advantage. In addition, the paper received coating at the bottom of the color reservoir, avoiding foam and preventing fisheye marks, as well as ribs of coating or orange peel pattern. Well, the machine was erected with great anxiety and great expectations. The Blandin staff started it up. And then, immediately, great disappointment. It didn't work. It wasn't working at all. It made a mess. There was color flying around, color everywhere. The paper was getting destroyed in the process of doing it, and it just simply was not functioning. Problems abounded, and the coater did not function in an even remotely satisfactory manner. Well, that certainly is unexpected. Harold Zygmunt, who had recently joined the Blandin technical staff, was assigned to work and, as it turned out, to live with the new coater. In the broke pile, Zygmunt discussed some of the problems. The heavier groundwood paper behaved quite differently on the trailing blade coater from the lightweight, tough bread wrap, and numerous wrinkles formed in the groundwood sheet before it reached the first coating head. The wrinkles were then coated over and the resulting paper was worthless. During the unwinding process, the paper frequently cracked, and no printer would accept rolls of paper with scattered tears. Also, the dikes on the ends of the color trough leaked, contributing to the formation of a hard, raised bead of color on the edges of the sheet. That bead played havoc with the composition rolls in the super calendar. Zygmunt also talked about problems with the device meant to make a flying splice from a depleted roll of paper to a new full roll. Obviously, the machine could not be operated profitably if it had to be shut down between rolls for threading. In theory, the new roll, with adhesive applied to the end of the sheet, would be brought to the surface speed of the unwinding roll just at the right moment, be brought into contact with it, and catch. a knife would slip the paper from the spent roll, and in quite spectacular fashion, with but a momentary slowing, the coating process should be able to continue. From the beginning, Zygmunt was certain that the flying splice mechanism would not work. He was surprised that the experienced Race Barton engineers had not been more concerned with the lack of any means to hold tension on the expiring sheet of the finished roll. But his objections had been brushed aside by both Race Barton and Blandin personnel. But Zygmunt was correct. There were no flying splices from the newly erected trailing blade coater. And to complicate matters still further, the rope threading system did not function properly either. So began 6 months, 6 months of intensive, often aggravating work that essentially demanded reinventing and redesigning the trailing blade coater. The Blandin workers, technical staff, and management personnel assigned to the project worked in harmony with Race Barton and its staff from Worcester. Together, they analyzed and experimented and modified. The work was demanding and slow. George Goltz, who was working on the color composition, remembered it as an awful frustrating experience for anybody who was involved with it. But he also took satisfaction from the fact that we were breaking new ground. Those directly involved with the Blandin No. 1 coater could see some progress during the first months. Their daily accomplishment in solving the major problems was minimal, but gradually they achieved a better understanding of the machine and its potential. The work was expensive. There were salaries and additional materials and parts, and a large amount of paper specially made for the coater ended up in the broke pile. As time passed, Blandin and Andrews, who did not participate in the small daily triumphs, became discouraged with the prospects. Neither were some of the older mill staff, those who had weathered the installation of the number 3 machine and the transition to the manufacture of groundwood papers, convinced that results from the coater were worth the effort. But a cadre of newer employees, including Miles Reif and Zygmunt and George Goltz, persevered. Seeing only unending expense and heaps of ruined paper, Blandin was not in the best of spirits when fourth-generation Race Barton owner-official Charles Barton arrived in Grand Rapids to personally view the effort that was as important to his company as it was to the paper mill. Blandin was so incensed at what he regarded as the lack of progress that a major altercation developed between the two men. Charles Barton took offense at Blandin's charges and allegations and seemed ready to dismantle the coater, ship it back to Massachusetts, and meet Blandin's demands for a refund. Fortunately, Miles Reif and others intervened and calmed both sides. The work proceeded. To eliminate the wrinkles on the long draw to the first coating head, the staff purchased and installed curved Mount Hope rolls. The new rolls reduced both wrinkles and cracks, and more were ordered for experimentation with other configurations. After trying countless felt designs and combinations, the crew made a loose, more effective dike seal to reduce color leakage. That, and not coating the sheet all the way to the edge, eliminated the beading problem. The Blandin crew was particularly intent upon finding a solution for the flying splice defect. Starting with the design of two small breaks made in the mill shop, they gradually devised a better method of moving the expired roll out and the new roll in, achieving an almost 100% effective flying splice. Six major improvements led to a 1962 patent issued to several of the Blandin personnel. The coating crew members also learned that the groundwood sheet prepared for the coater had to meet exact specifications and be of the highest quality. Coating did not cover defects. It only added the final touch to an already notable sheet. There were incessant demands to improve quality. The mill sent a few rolls of paper that it had managed to produce to a major printing company for an opinion. Its assessment was glowing and encouraging, but still the paper company was not producing coated paper in quantity. Andrews, who had been described as owly in 1931, during number three machine installation became considerably more so as months of working on the trailing blade coater passed. Endless hours of expensive company time seemed to him to be producing few accomplishments leading to mass production, and great amounts of the mill's very best paper were ending up in the broke pile. He was responsible for the end-of-the-year profit and loss statement, and his patience was eroding. Near the end of 6 months, with no acceptable results, Andrew strode into the mill and watched balefully at the men working on the coater and ready to leave. He snapped, "Why not admit the GD thing isn't going to work?" Some of those who had persevered, convinced that the concept of the coater was sound and that they were making meaningful progress, were afraid that the whole project would be scrapped by the top mill management. So, yeah, much disappointment there and great uncertainty. Next time, let's see what happens.